Today is February 3rd, 2018. What is your name?
Jessica Wilkinson.
And where do you live?
I live at 1613 CRX, which is about 6 miles southwest of Ashland. And we are 13 miles from Englewood, east of Englewood.
Okay. And what is your occupation?
I am an insurance coordinator for a dental office. And I work from the home.
And how old are you?
I am 43.
All right.
I wish I was 30.
When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire in general? And where were you?
Well, I didn't know the name probably until 3 or 4 days later.
Right.
But I was made aware that there was a fire in Oklahoma probably around 2 o'clock, and my brother-in-law Matt had called and said that there was a fire and that he was going to drive the dirt road to Englewood just to kind of make sure we were okay. And he came back and said, no, everything looks good. It looks like it's all west of everything and it's going north. And so then I had another phone call from Bill Hink, and he had told me that there was a fire and that the crews were going out to Frosty Edgar's and that it would probably hit his house in about 30 minutes. Then he called me about 10 minutes later and said, it's already there. You better be thinking about evacuating. Well, I was working, and so I just was trying to kind of, you know, finish things up. And I honestly wasn't – at first it looked like dirt because the wind was awful that day.
So you could see the smoke from your house?
Well, I didn't know it was smoke. I thought it was just all dirt.
Dirt.
And then you could start to smell the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chris, my husband, had went outside and met Matt. And Chance, my brother-in-law, was coming out just to make sure we were okay. Because apparently he knew something more was going on because he works at the hospital and he has to be emergency readiness there. And so it was probably about 3 o'clock and I saw the sheriff's deputy car flying through the driveway, and Chris was already outside at that time, and Chris comes running in the house and he said, we've got to go now. And he told me later that the sheriff had said, it's coming and get the hell out of here now. So that just kind of freaked me out just a little bit. So I basically got up, grabbed what little things I could. I grabbed our passports. I was working on my taxes, so I had everything in a box. So I just made sure I got that, grabbed my laptop. I grabbed our marriage license, our marriage certificate, a picture, and basically left with the clothes I had on, which were flip-flops and just, you know, comfy clothes. I just wasn't thinking that it would be anything that serious. So we left, but the minute we walked outside, I immediately started coughing. And it was already coming, the ash was already coming down like snow. So at that point in time, something had already been burning, you know, bad. So we left, went into town to my brother-in-law Chance at Wilkinson's, which is next to Bessie C-Cat. And we weren't there 15 minutes before Chris got a text from
the Iris.
Yeah, the Iris. And I wasn't set up on Iris, but he was. And it said that they were evacuating Ashland. Well, and I didn't know what Bessie's status was. So I ran next door to her, and she said that she couldn't get a hold of Bill, her son. And so I called him, and he said, I'm out. They were already trying to fight the fires and move their cattle and everything. And I said, well, don't worry about her. She'll just go with us. So we grabbed what we could with Bessie. At that point in time, we had to put like wet washcloths over our mouths because the smoke was so bad and you just constantly coughed. And so then we decided, okay, from there we will go to my sister's house, which is 7 miles east of Ashland on Highway 60, a mile just past Sitka. And at that point in time, she kind of knew. I had called her when we were leaving our house, so that was probably around 3. I called her and she said, well, I'm already home. We're just going to kind of gather some things. She goes, she was nonchalant about it too. She did not think anything was going to happen. Neither did we. We just thought, okay, well, we're going to leave. We don't know when we're going to be able to come back. So, you know, we'll just kind of take our time, but we didn't. So when we got to Bessie, myself and Chris got to Janae and Matt's, they were just kind of packing up some things, and she already had their camper hooked up to the truck. And Matt and Chris were just adamant, we're not taking the camper. And Janae and I both said, we are taking the camper. We don't know how long we're going to be over there. At least we'll have some sort of comfort, and we're going to take the camper. So
where were you going?
At that point, we had been in contact with Mike Freelove, Judge Freelove, uh-huh. And he said, we're going to Buckland, and it looks okay. Well, then he called back later before we'd even left and said, no, I take that back. We had already left. Let me back up. So while we're packing, I told Janae, I said, you better grab birth certificates and stuff. You never know. I mean, you can always put it back. So she's like, oh, I'm so glad you said that. So she got what she could. Well, then later we found out she didn't have Shylin's in there. So we lost Shylin's, but she grabbed everything else of what they could. So we loaded up and we decided that we were going to go north to Buckland. Right. Well, we were right probably 15 foot before the turn where you can take the back road to go to protection.
Right.
And Judge had called and said, do not come this way. There's fire up here and do not come this way. So we literally, you know, and Matt was almost out of gas. So we were, and there were probably, we were in one vehicle. Janae was in one vehicle with the camper, and Matt was in his vehicle. And Chris and I had left a vehicle because we took two vehicles out. Right. We'd left one of our vehicles at Matt and Janae's on the rock. Charlie had left hers. Matt left his work truck there. I mean, Charlie probably could have driven a vehicle, but we didn't need that many vehicles. So anyway, we literally turned hoping and praying that Matt would not run out of gas and just kind of put it along, but it just got darker and darker and darker and darker. And it honestly, the smoke looked worse to the east, going towards the east, than it did going to the north. So I don't know if it was just the way that the wind was blowing, but it was pitch black. It was like it was dark outside, and it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Could you see the road?
You could see the road. Because we were north of 160, you could see the road. But then once we got into protection and then you hit cold water, it was almost parts where it was just like fog, like dense fog, but it wasn't, it was smoke.
So were you able to get gas for Matt's vehicle?
Yes, we stopped in protection.
Were you in a line?
We were, yes, there were. There were already people there at the gas station. So we were probably, because we already had gas, so Matt was the only vehicle that needed. So there were probably two vehicles in front of him, but, you know, there was four pumps, and there were vehicles at all of them.
Yep. So when you went to Coldwater, where did you go in Coldwater?
When we first got to Coldwater, in our minds, we thought, oh, well, we're just going to be here an hour or so, mm-hmm. and then we're going to come back. So we pulled off to it would have been to the west. There's a little gas station right when you come into town. And, or pumps, and we just all kind of huddled there, and it started getting really cold. So it was my sister-in-law, Chance and Arcelli were there. There were Bill and Mel finally met up with us. We had Bessie. We just had, I don't know, there were probably 20 of us. Nicole and Chase were there with the kids. It was, I mean, we had horse trailers. We had.
Were your nieces there?
Yes. All of us were together.
Okay.
So, and we just kind of hung out there. Probably until 7 or 7:30, because someone had come by and said, or, you know, phone calls were happening. I guess Judge and Rita had called and said, hey, they've opened the school, the Red Cross is here, they have food, that kind of thing. And we were just kind of, I don't even know what we were doing. We were just waiting. We were just sitting there congregating, waiting, and we would put Bessie in the vehicle to keep her warm. And, you know, the girls, and I didn't have a coat or anything, so Bill and Nell had an extra coat in their vehicle. It was...
Did you notice the temperature change?
Oh,
was
yeah.
Was it dramatic?
It was very dramatic. I mean, it was downright cold. I don't even know what the temperature was, but it had to have been freezing, at least. Yeah. And the wind chill was what was the worst. I mean, it was...
So the wind's still blowing like the 60 mm-hmm. mile an hour?
Yes, the wind's still blowing.
Out of the north?
It almost felt like it was coming out of the west.
Yep.
Is where, that's, I mean, that I remember, kind of northwest. So you really couldn't tell, and it was just pitch black to the west. Right. So at that point in time, so we had probably finally got to Coldwater. It was probably about 5, because we left Matt and Janae's probably about 4 o'clock. And, yeah, then we decided we would go to the school, and Matt said, I'm going to sneak back on the back roads and just check the house. And he did. And because, you know, they weren't letting anybody, of course, on the highway, so Janae got that phone call, and we were sitting there in the gym, or in the cafeteria at the, and she just said, no.
Yep.
And he said, it's all gone.
And the vehicles?
We didn't know at that point. He just said, the whole house is engulfed. It's just...
So he saw it
gone.
Burning.
It's gone. Mm-hmm. He took pictures of it. And at that point in time, the whole house was gone. But there was just stuff burning. Like gas was burning, and I mean, you could just see things burning.
Was he on the highway side, or did he go through the pasture?
He must have been. He was on a dirt road, so I don't know if he was south of the. I don't know if he was on the south side of 160 or if he was on the north side. I don't know.
Like that dirt road that goes north of their house.
I don't know for sure which.
Yeah. So, how early was that?
That was probably about 7. Okay. We later found out that Stan Hazen and his crew were out there, and he actually took pictures of the house, and it was probably it was in between 6 and 7. I don't remember the exact time. And you could see that the fire on Matt and Janae's house was just on the front part of the house where the deck was and kind of where Matt and Janae's room was. And that was completely engulfed. So, and then he took another picture of the house, which is just about a half a mile east of their house, which was his grandparents and his mom and dad's. And that was probably 10 or 15 minutes after that picture of that. I mean, mm-hmm. but it was completely gone.
Yeah.
So, and you just don't. And at that point, we didn't have any clue what had happened to our house. And people, I mean, you would hear things like Gage Gardner said, we lost ours. I mean, you just kept hearing these. You had no clue because we knew the fire. We knew Gardner's had lost. Mark and Eva, we heard that they had lost theirs. Hi, Judge. Hold on.